Welcome, one and all, to the finals edition of Chicks Talking Footy. I'm Fee. With me in the studio tonight is our regular chick, Motty.
Hello.
And we have a number 7 draft pick that has come in, Claudie, who is a new chick on the block.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Claudie. And, Hello, Fee.
Unlike Motty and I, she has a team who's still in the finals, hanging on by a thread.
Yes, just hanging on.
That is the Geelong Cats.
I thought you were going to say, unlike Motty and I, she's not old and jaded yet.
She sounds young and jaded. But we've got a jam-packed show tonight. My goodness, we've got some finals games to review, that's for sure, because, wow, what a week it was. Hair-pulling...
Unexpected, I think, but yeah. Certainly the result.
But. Well, yeah, it was a bit lopsided. We'll talk about that. We've also going to catch up with Marie Short. She's a Brisbane Lions stalwart, as you might say, who tossed the coin at the game on Saturday night. She's been the receptionist there for 24 years.
She has.
550 games, apparently.
Oh, wow.
Because we measure time in an organisation by games. we're also going to... tonight's a big focus still on our supporters. Last week we spoke to supporters from each of the teams in the finals. But this week it's going to be Wayne Pern. He's a Mighty Tiger supporter. And Motty will dust off a little bit of the no warning.
Oh, yes, it's fascinating.
It's fascinating. Questions without warning. And, of course, we're going to pay a little bit of a tribute tonight to Danny Frawley, who tragically passed away this week. So you can contact us on 0427JOY949. Is your team still in the finals? Do you have any hope? Are you miserable like me and Motty? you can also contact us onair@joy.org.au. But let's have a look at the games, ladies.
Well, let's have a look at the fact that West Coast and Essendon was only 6 days ago. It feels 6 months.
It does. It feels like a lifetime ago.
Almost as if it didn't happen.
If only it hadn't happened.
Yeah.
Now, Motty, you last week you were excited about this game, I think.
I was excited.
And we had some hope.
I was excited, but I didn't, to be honest, didn't think we were going to win.
There was still I still felt like you could pull something out of the bag.
Well, yeah, you did, didn't you? You said...
Yeah, I guess I'd watched my Hawkies do it only 2 weeks before, and I thought, surely Essendon can do it. But, look, the West Coast Eagles forward line just looked... And you even said last show, I bet you Josh Kennedy kicks 5 goals.
Yeah,
and look what he did.
Well, as soon as the game started, I looked at Cale Hooker and I thought, oh, well, you're injured as well. Like, Michael Hurley was obvious, you know, that was a known one. Cale Hooker was injured, and you... Age-old thing, should you take injured players?
It's a risk. It's a huge risk.
So your two big-prong backmen both playing injured. You just can't play. You just can't win finals with that.
Well, not with that forward line.
Or with a team that is inferior to the one that won. They were just really good.
Yeah.
They really, really were.
There was a funny incident that happened where Zach Merritt pulled Nick Natanui's hair. And Nick Natanui picked him up and threw him against the fence as a result.
So what do you think on balance, you two? Do you think that that is about even?
I know I hate pulling people pulling my hair. It could enrage me. But I also think...
Well, good to know. Yeah, we know that now.
If you don't want me to throw you against the fence, don't pull my hair. But no, I thought it was an overreaction.
So did I. I did think...
I think it was rude of Zach Merritt to do that.
I looked at it and... I think in the rough and tumble, Merritt's hand sort of ended up in his hair, and a split second later, then he went, great, it's in his hair, I'll pull it. But I don't think he literally went, I don't think his brain process went, right, I'm going
to
go.
He didn't seek out to do that.
I don't think he did at all, but he was opportune. But seriously, Nick Natanui, you're at 10 foot tall. And
tie your hair back, dude.
And you pick up a little peewee and throw him into the fence.
Yeah.
No.
It was weak. It was weak.
I don't like that.
And then a spectator poured beer over Zach Merritt too. Okay. So it was just it was a moment of animalistic year 10 behaviour.
Shocking, yeah.
Classy though, isn't it?
Yeah. And I have to say, I do love a lot of West Coast supporters. Michelle Redfern, Casey Simons, all lovely people. But gosh, that crowd... Feral.
Yeah, I remember you saying that. I obviously am so one-eyed because I was really just watching my team, so I really couldn't hear the
They were booing even when Essendon players were legitimately going for goal. It was like, what are you booing? Just booing. And, yeah, I wouldn't want to be watching at the ground.
Okay, so that means West Coast march forward, Essendon...
not so much.
Not so much.
So the next game was, you can give us... I'm glad you're both here. You can, Claudia, you can give us a bit of a synopsis of the Geelong-Collingwood game.
Oh, I'd rather
I'm sure you can give an objective opinion.
It was disappointing if you were a Geelong supporter like myself. We were never really in it. Collingwood just ran away with it from the start. They had a 20-point buffer from the get-go. Geelong, we came back in the last quarter, but it was just too little too late, as is often with our team when we're on our off weeks. We had a few injuries as well. Mitch Duncan out, and Dugowie and Greenwood out for the Pies as well, which is a bit worrying.
Well, Greenwood's out now with an ACL, and Dugowie's flown off to
Germany
to see if he can, get some magic
miracle
German hot dogs rubbed on his
hamstring. Go to the beer festival.
Something, who knows?
But now, there was a lot of discussion before the game with Chris Scott saying, you know, we want our home final played at the Cattery. But, you know, they would have had a third of the crowd. It would have been 30,000 compared to 90,000.
Yes.
However, the home and away record compared to your finals record, I mean, it's just complete polar opposites.
It is.
And Geelong does get to play a lot of their games at the Cattery during the home and away season. Do you think that had an effect?
It could have, but I think what had a bigger effect was not going in with a recognised ruckman. That, to me, was... I'm not a coach, obviously.
No, but it's only a matter of time,
Paulie. We've got your back.
But I just thought, what are you doing? And he's since defended that decision. And Dangerfield has also come out and said, no, it's in the midfield where we lost the game. But I just thought, Chris, that's a really silly decision.
I think what you do when you say we're going to make Blixarves the ruckman now is you... Blixarves is not the recognised ruckman, but you rob Peter to pay Paul because he's been playing a great role down in defence.
Yeah.
So by taking him out of there...
You've left a gaping hole
in defence that you've got to fill. So you're then sort of filling two spots.
Yeah.
And I think that was a mistake for them. Collingwood were brilliant, though.
Oh, they were so quick and so clean.
Funny, two different halves of football for them. The first half they kicked 48 points. They finished with 61 and didn't score in the final quarter at all.
Do you think that they took their foot off the pedal, or do you think... Because Geelong came... you know, the final score was only 10 points, but...
It was a flattering scoreline.
It definitely was. They could have... They should have scored a lot more by the way they were playing.
So I wonder whether the lack of rotations with those two players down, whether that really did affect them.
I think it did. I don't think they took their pedal off at all.
Yeah, but Geelong, they just kept kicking weirdly, a lot of turnovers.
Uncharacteristic fumbling, especially from people you didn't expect, like Kelly, for example, fumbling quite a lot.
Yeah.
It was disappointing.
Yeah. It was poor football from Geelong for sure. Hopefully they can improve in 7 days.
Otherwise I will be in a very foul mood next week.
We'll see if you're up for selection next week then.
However, using the words poor, not as poor as...
Now, Monty, who are
we? Western Bulldogs.
Western Bulldogs and GWS.
They were terrible.
Yeah, which was surprising too, because they've been playing so well. And GWS haven't been playing so well. So, you know, a week's a long time in football, as they say.
It is. Sure it is.
And the crowds weren't really up there as much as you'd think either.
19,000.
Yeah, for a finals game.
I think it holds. It could probably have taken another 10 or 8 or something like that. But GWS played differently. They played with, a lot of strength and aggression, which they don't normally play in that same way, and the young, you know, slightly built Bulldogs were just completely outclassed and outrun, I thought.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Well, I didn't. That was probably the one finals game I didn't watch.
Which is
probably telling.
I watched bits and pieces.
It was uninteresting.
It was uninteresting.
Yeah. And it was sort of, I kept thinking it was going to get better, and it just got worse. So it was GWS 76 inside 50s to Bulldogs 37 is basically...
Burr.
That was the game.
That says it all.
But, yeah, we'll see.
Wasn't a good final.
No.
Not
a good final at all.
So very lopsided finals all around. But, Motti,
Well, nor was the next one, but we'll chat. We can chat the next game, Brisbane and Richmond, when we chat to our guests.
Hi, I'm Peggy O'Neill, president of the Richmond Football Club, and you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy, Joy 94.9.
I'm Motti.
I'm Claudie.
And we've also got Fee, who's just over there twiddling with the buttons and doing her stuff. We are talking finals footy. We're talking to fans, particularly of different clubs. Last week we talked to Casey from West Coast. We talked to Dave from Geelong, and we talked to Santo from
Collingwood.
And tonight we have got Wayne Pern, who is a mad keen Tigers supporter on the line. He's a theatre director, but tonight we've got him on to tell us why barracking for Richmond is just so good. Hello, Wayne.
Hello, Susanna. How are you?
Very good.
We call her Motti.
Oh, Motti or Susanna?
Oh, Motti. Oh, good. I'm being very formal.
You were, my friend.
Mad keen. Richmond, well, we're all mad and we're all very, very keen. It's marvellous being a Richmond supporter right now, let me tell you.
And you went up to Brisbane, I saw, on the social medias.
Yes, we went up to the Gabatoir, flew up there Friday night and come home Sunday and experienced a very good win, a very efficient win. They were pretty good, the other mob. They just didn't get the scoreboard pressure on that they perhaps should have. They kicked pretty poorly, but we're just humming along at the moment. It's good to see.
Now, I was at Melbourne Airport on Friday morning, catching a flight to Brisbane, and I reckon I saw about 100 Richmond supporters heading to Brisbane. What was the representation at the night?
There was a heap there, and a mate of ours, Dylan Leach, who resides in Brisbane, is the president of the Queensland Richmond Supporters Group, and had an event at the Shaston Hotel in East Brisbane. And we popped along, went from 1 till 6. I can't do those long stints anymore. So we poked our heads in about 4 o'clock. There's 1,000 people there, 1,000 Richmond supporters there. Neil Barn was talking, Flea Waitman was there. Really good event, and everyone marched down to the Gabba. And, rabid Tiger supporters. It was great. Atmos.
Were you expecting such an emphatic win?
I think they've had a really good year. I think they're really well coached, the other mob. I thought we would win, but not as emphatic, particularly the first quarter. They come to play. And like I said, they just didn't put the scoreboard pressure on. But Cochin was significant in the second quarter. He sort of cranked it up and turned the tide, and away we went after that. So it was a pretty impressive win in the end.
But, Wayne, do you think they didn't hit the scoreboard properly because of the pressure that Richmond put on them, or just because they were fully wayward?
Oh, look, I think perhaps a bit of both, Motti. I think the way Richmond played forced them out wide, so they were trying to kick shots around the body that you can't... they're low percentage, so they did force them out wide, and they like to play down the lines So the Tigers sort of kept that pressure up in the forward line, and some of it was wayward, but I'd say that's pressure and perceived pressure as well.
There's that too. Now, let's have a chat about you as a Tiger supporter. Can we go way back, and can you tell us how did you start and why did you start barracking for the Tigers?
I was pretty simple. My mother was born and bred in Crown Street, Richmond, and she went to school with Neville Crowe, the late, great Neville Crowe, and it all started from there. And for as long as I remember, I had a Richmond jumper on and enjoyed success through the mid-60s and late 60s and the 70s, of course, in 1980, and then the Great Famine came along.
Did she
stuck fat.
You did. Did she instill in all of you, like your siblings as well, Richmond, or was there division in the family at all?
No, my two sisters... weren't terribly interested in football. They sort of tended to go to the other mob close by, Collingwood. They're not real football followers. Although I've got my younger sisters, one of the daughters comes along to the Richmond games with us, and she's a
So it's a possibility that it could be a Richmond Collingwood grand final.
Can you imagine?
I know.
That?
Can you imagine Melbourne if that happens?
Can you imagine that gene pool floating down
the cesspool
on Saturday morning afternoon of the grand final? We owned one from the prelim last year, of course, where they got us big time. There's a long day at the office. There is a distinct possibility. I think no finals games are gimmies, but we play the winner of Geelong West Coast, and they've got the winner of GWS and Brisbane, as you all know. I know some people in the media are saying that we've got the tougher draw. I'm not sure about that. I think GWS is pretty impressive, the way they bullied the Dogs the other day. So,
God, they did. That's a good description, because they absolutely thumped them. Outclassed.
Oh, didn't they?
Mm, totally
outclassed. Really, really physical. Really physical. But Brisbane will be ready for it. Although losing Mitch Robinson's going to hurt them, I'd say, in that aspect of the game.
Well, even Fagg said he's not replaceable.
Oh, haven't you loved Chris Fagan this year?
Oh,
he's been terrific.
Fantastic.
Absolutely love him. I know of him from, I'm a Hawks supporter, and he's just known as Father Bear, you know, around the club. So,
you
can see that's how he coaches. He's a real father figure to the boys, and has just seemed to instill some positivity back into the team and some belief. You know, there's not really new players. They're the same players, but they've just risen.
They sure have.
No, he's risen. And I think Hodge has been great for him too. He was terrific the other night, Hodgie.
He was fantastic.
Yeah, really good. Yeah. Really good. We're chatting in a minute.
It's pretty bad today.
We're chatting in a minute, Wayne, to Maz, who tossed the coin for Brisbane. And she has been the receptionist up there for 24 years, so we're going to get her opinion of Fags as well, which would be interesting.
Great.
Yeah, very
great.
Good. So tell us, you're going to have the week off, but what's your match day routine? Does it involve, you know, primping and preening, or do you like to sleep in?
Well, now, not too many people know this. I will put my Richmond socks on, and I got my black jeans, and I wear them with my sort of tan suede boots, yellow, bright fluoro yellow underpants, and I've got a great black t-shirt with a tiger with a crown on it, the Puma top, and you get a bit toey, but living in Fitzroy, just walk to the ground, and it's a great vibe. It's a fantastic vibe. So that's sort of the match day routine. You know, I put on some highlights from earlier in the year, something like that, just to get one revved up.
Highlights in hair?
Make sure of a clean shave and all that type of stuff. Being a Tiger supporter, it can be akin to being front and centre in a Shakespeare tragedy, as you probably
At the game, are you a pie, hot dog or chips man?
Look, I try and be very good, but I've got back into the pies. It's good to have a pie and a full strength beer, not this mid strength stuff that they serve up at night.
You did just say I've got back into the pies. Just want to point that out.
So, Wayne, with that, today is full strength available in the day and only mid at night?
Correct.
Yes, that's my understanding. I've never had a full strength, not for a long time. At a night match, yet they'll serve the mixed drinks. So there you go.
And
you can actually go to the bar and drink full strength there, inside the bar.
Oh, yeah, but you're not allowed to bring them.
Buy it and then take it back to your seat.
Oh, okay. No, I don't really drink a lot at the game.
No, jeez, Motty.
No, I know, I'm a bit behind.
Oh,
on
no,
that,
no, neither do I, of course.
No. Yes, no, I only know that from friends myself, Wayne. Now, Dustin Martin is, well, he's a god to Richmond fans, let's be honest. Do you have a photo of him or the number 4 painted on your garage? Is there any way that you worship at his feet?
Well, I think we all do. He's probably the best I've seen.
Really?
Richmond player. Yeah, I reckon he... If he... if we can make the granny this year and be fortunate enough to win it and he plays well, he probably goes to the top. KB is a wonderful player, Kevin Bartlett, for so long and played well in big games, and Francis Burke and Royce Hart and Jeff Raines and Rioli, all these great players, Flea Waitman. This guy, Richo, who we love, he can roll through the midfield and be really destructive, or as you all saw on Saturday night, he had 14 possessions and kicked 6 goals, dished a couple of off. Did you see that throw?
Yes, I sure did.
And he got away with, and he got away with
everyone
it.
At the everyone at the ground saw it, except the umpire. Amazing.
Was he blindsided, or he just his brain, you know, little brain snap?
Look, he must have been in awe of the great man.
He's a Tiger supporter.
Dusty can do everything. He can play rugby as well.
And do no wrong.
Because Dusty's seems to have a licence, he can go, to the centre, mid, and then he can go forward and stuff. It's very hard to match on him because they can't structure up around that type of player who just moves around.
Yeah, I noticed that. I think the third one to go on him the other night was Hodge, and won a couple of contests.
I saw that.
Hodgie,
yeah.
With his experience. But it allows Riewoldt and Big Tom Lynch to be able to go further up the ground and mark down the line, which we've probably struggled with the past couple of seasons, and that gives us a target, gives the Tigers a couple of targets. I don't know whether they'll continue with the Soldo-Nankervis experiment. That's going to be interesting to see. Soldo's come on in leaps and bounds, but they're not quick, those two guys. And if Geelong get through on Friday night, they don't play two rucks, so it'll be interesting to see what Richmond
do. We don't
play
any rucks.
Well, they didn't the other day, did they? And they've taken away a massive strength in their full back and put him on the ball against the best ruckman in the AFL.
That was the stupidest thing I've ever. Yeah, and because he thought it was going to rain. I mean, look, we all looked up the, you know, bomb website and realised it wasn't actually going to rain.
It's so bizarre. Look up the rain app.
The rain app, yeah. All of that. Now,
I didn't see the game because we were in the air, unfortunately.
Collingwood were
phenomenal.
Phenomenal, yeah, they really were. They were straight away unbelievable. And, yeah, Geelong were slow. They looked slow.
Very slow.
They weren't getting to the contest anything. But the Pies, everyone's like, ooh, that's scary. They looked very...
And what do you reckon, if the Cats go out in straight sets, does pressure come on the coach?
It should.
It should, but at the same time, I go,
how... top of the ladder as well.
They finished top of the ladder and he's, you know, and they're probably, if they go out in straight sets, where does that leave them? That means they've come fifth or something, does it? And you think, well, that's not a bad year.
It's not, but finals is where it matters.
Yeah, their finals record under him since 2011 hasn't been great. And I think the whinging about the home finals doesn't help.
No.
I think they, you know, they talk about the home ground advantage. Well, Richmond don't train at the MCG, but Geelong get to train at Cardinia Velodrome all the time.
Yeah, you're right. You make a good point, Wayne. My friend, I'll just want to say thank you so much. Sorry for cutting off there, but thank you very much for joining us. Good luck to your Tigers, and I hope to share a full strength with you over the next couple of weeks.
We'll do that. It's spring carnival is upon us.
I know. We just roll straight out of the grand final into the top hat and tails and off to Flemington.
And how fantastic is that? Okay, my pleasure.
All right. Thanks, Wayne. Good luck.
So much,
okay.
Good luck.
Bye. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy. It's the halftime stretch with Fee, Motti and Claudie, our number 7 draft pick and fresh off the bench. Claudie, how's the first half of the show gone for you so far?
Great so far, apart from talking about how bad Geelong have been.
And your tactics for the second half?
To not talk about that.
Not talk about that anymore. Well, we have a very special guest on the line. Is that right, Roddy?
It is indeed. We are delighted to welcome to Chicks Talking Footy Marie Short, or known as Maz, who has manned reception at the Brisbane Lions for the last 24 years, which I believe is 550 games. Welcome, Maz.
Thank you.
Is that right, 550 games?
550 games. Wow. Yes,
that's breaking a few records.
Well, I think so.
you must be the longest serving employee there, are you?
Along with one of the girls who works in the footy department, we're about the same, but she's a little bit younger than me. But yeah, so there's two of us have been there, you know, virtually from the Bears days right through to today. Yes.
Yeah, Maz, we were touched by the video that we saw, and it's the reason we got in contact with you, that the Brisbane Lions put up with, what's your CEO's name, Wayne Swan?
Greg Swan.
Not Wayne Swan, he's a politician. he really paid tribute to you and the work that you've done at the club, and they honoured you with, you know, doing the coin toss. And I have noticed clubs doing this more and more, where the focus isn't just on the players but the whole club. You've certainly weathered a few ups and downs at the Brisbane Lions. What's your favourite sort of time there?
Okay, well, the most memorable and my favourite was our very first grand final played in 2001, of course.
Yes.
And that was the year that the ANZAC strike, so we had to have buses coming from Brisbane. Wow. So I, you know, along with the membership manager, we organised 12 busloads of people.
Wow.
To go to the grand final. So that was epic. But
what's that, 24 hours or something, Maz? How long a bus takes?
Yeah, 24 hours it was. So we hopped on Thursday morning, got to Melbourne Friday in time for the parade, and got caught up with all that and had a sleep and back out to it again on Saturday, watched the game and hopped on a bus on Sunday to come home.
Gosh, that's amazing. What a great story.
But look, it was terrific. You're on adrenaline, so everybody's in the same mood, so yeah.
I know there was lots of West Coast players that or supporters that drove 4 days across the Nullarbor last year for the grand final, so it's amazing the lengths that people go to.
To watch your team, yes, it is. But it's all worth it in the end, yeah.
Maz, have you always been a Lions supporter?
I have to say no, because I'm originally from Adelaide, so I was a Crows for a short time, yes. But
you're a convert.
I didn't change when I came up here.
you had no choice, I imagine.
Yeah, that's right.
And so, Fee mentioned that Greg Swan, you know, showed the video of him announcing it to you. Was it a complete surprise? If it was,
absolutely.
Well, what did you think he was going to do?
I said to him, "What now?" You know, he's always coming up with surprises, and I'm thinking, well, it's past my birthday, so it's not birthday cake. So, yeah, in the lunchbox room, as we call it, we're all having lunch on the Tuesday, and just made the announcement. Then it was like, "Oh, you're kidding!" You know, I was just taken back, and I'm going, "Oh, really?" And it didn't hit me for a while, and I'm going, "I'm actually going to toss the coin." And the boys are going, "You better win the toss."
And you know what question's coming, did you?
Yes, I did.
Well done.
That was good. And I felt pretty honoured and pretty privileged to do that. So that was fantastic. And then on the game day, the nerves set in. So it was a little bit nerve-wracking.
I can imagine.
All those people in the stand.
Did you practice a lot before Saturday?
I practiced a little bit, and because they said, please don't do a two-up toss. You know, you have to toss it higher than a two-up toss. So I did practice a lot. So it was great.
Maz, from the outside, it feels like Chris Fagan is a genius, you know, ably supported by Luke Hodge. Do you see it that way?
Oh, absolutely. He is the most gorgeous man. He's just lovely and very cool, calm and collected. He's just awesome. And he gets on with everybody and comes around, walks around the office most days just to say hi to everybody and back down to his job again. So he's just fantastic.
So he's really changed the way the club operates, has he? He's become more of a sort of father figure?
Oh, he has, definitely. And you can always feel the players mainly can go and talk to him all the time. You know, he's very approachable. And he's just an awesome person. And fantastic to have him around the club. Yeah,
I know of him quite well from the Hawthorn Football Club, and he was very well loved there as well. It was a great loss to our club. But there was an image of him just after you beat the Cats, sorry, Claudie, a few weeks ago, where he just jumped on the players.
I did see that, and I actually loved his reaction. It was really nice to see.
It was awesome. That brought tears to everybody's eyes. It was just like, oh my gosh. it was fantastic. Yeah, well, that's the type of person he is. Yeah.
Did the club and you, of course, Maz, speak on behalf of the entire Brisbane Lions club? But at the start of the year, was there a vibe that you were going to go deep, you know, deep into finals, or is this coming out a bit unexpectedly?
Well, I think most of us around the office said, "Look, I think we're finishing the top eight. You know, and if they do that, that shows that." You know, that's improvement. And then they just kept going and going. And I'm going, perhaps I might finish in the top four. Never predicted they'd finish the top two.
I think you're the fairy tale of this year.
It is a fairy tale. And just the members and supporters are just like, can you believe it? And so, well, I think we're a team that stays together well. So, and that seems to be the thing. We seem to retain the younger kids.
Yeah, that's
to
right.
Keep together. Yeah, and that keeps them together. And it reminds me of like the 2001 with Simon Black, Brown, the Powers. They all stayed together for quite a few years. And I've always said to these kids, if you stay together, you'll be rewarded. Yeah, and you know, it's showing through.
So it's actually down to you then, Maz, really?
Oh, absolutely. I'm being over that motherly, you know, talk. Sometimes I do feel like their grandmother, but that's fine. They can come and have a chat to me. Yeah.
Now, just before we let you go, Maz, the semi-final against GWS this week in Sydney, what's your vibe on how the team are preparing for the game?
Just going along, as we say, it's just another game. And I think not having that rest is probably going to be very good for them because it's keeping them together. And along with our NEFL, which is our reserve, they're in the grand final this week. So, you know, players are just going along like it's just another game and we've got a few more hurdles to hop over yet to get to that big one, which I think they'll possibly do.
Well, good luck, and good luck in choosing Mitch Robinson's replacement. And lovely to chat to you, Maz. And I hope you've brought some good luck to your team for the rest of the finals.
Thank you very much. I hope so too.
Great pleasure.
Thanks so much, Maz.
Thanks so much, Maz.
Okay, bye.
Well, Maz is a winner.
We actually had a message come in just as we
lovely
were talking
message
to her.
And what's that?
It said, Maz is an Australian hero.
Well, isn't she just?
Yeah.
But I love those stories. And by the way, Maz was saying it then, that Greg Swan also sounds like, you know how she said, oh, it wasn't my birthday, so I knew it wouldn't be a cake. Like, he obviously does things. Mm. She said, what's he up to this time?
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
I thought it sounded such a very...
A real community
great
feel.
Place to be at the moment, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I remember with Liam Shields, he celebrated his 150th, 300th game? Can't remember. But they celebrated his cousin who'd worked at the club the exact same amount of time.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, he was also wearing the Hawks Pride beanie, which was good.
Yeah.
But I just thought it's really nice when clubs do that because we're so focused on players and coaches. But, you know, there's often hundreds of staff behind the scenes,
yeah,
you know, with physios and admin staff and, you know, people, CEOs and people administrating clubs that work just as hard but don't get the same... You know,
recognition.
That's right.
So it's good that that's starting to happen.
Now, do you want a little bit of no warning?
Go for it.
Don't faint with excitement, Claudia. There's a drum roll. People in their lounge rooms and in their cars are gripping the steering wheel with
pulling
excitement.
Pulling over.
No warning is named loosely after my most hated phrase on radio, which is question without notice. Because I think, oh.
Which is something they also say in Parliament, we learnt from a listener one time.
We did learn that. So I just make up questions and put them to you guys and you have to answer.
Great.
You don't have to go into any great speech. You can feast give into the sort of the one to two word answer.
No.
Okay, I'm going to start with, who would you rather go to the footy with? Simon Black, Janine Ellis or Abby Holmes? They are recently evicted Survivor contestants.
Abby Holmes.
Abby played for Adelaide, AFLW.
Premiership play for Adelaide.
Did any of these Survivor contestants win any sort of...
Challenges? Janine. Well, Janine is the CEO of Boost Juice.
Oh.
And Simon Black is the 300 Games and Hall of Famer and Brownlow medalist from Brisbane. I'd pick Blackie.
I'd pick Janine for the free Boost Juice.
Well, they get to all go to the football with one of us.
Yep. There you go.
That's good.
Table for six, thanks. Okay. Trade news. What do you think will happen? Joe Danaher to Sydney, yes or no?
Yes.
No.
Jack Stephen to Geelong, yes or no?
Hopefully.
No. Sorry, did you hear, Claudie?
Sorry.
Yes or no?
Yes.
She's in training. No.
Eddie Betts to Carlton. This is a big one, I reckon.
Eddie Betts to Carlton. I don't think so.
No.
I think that would be a real mistake if they did. Unless he goes for 200 grand. But they can't play a 34-year-old, or 33, 34-year-old.
Why get rid of Daisy Thomas then?
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense to me. One last one, quickly. Should there be a warm-up game for every game every week? Like, so when you come to the game early, you either see...
They used to have that, didn't they?
Yeah, they had the reserves in the under-19s. But it could be VFL, could be the VFLW, could be amateurs, could be under-18s. Do you think there should be one, or maybe just at the G or something?
Maybe just at the G.
Yeah, maybe.
It'd be logistically, you know, brain-numbing for whoever had to work it out, but I think it'd be just add a real element of energy around it.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
It would also raise awareness of other, you know, the VFL teams and VFLW teams.
Yeah, that's right.
That sort of thing.
And I thought they could come from different sort of leagues each time.
They have done a couple of those games this year.
Yeah, but anyway, look, I'll just put that on my list for Gil.
Okay, when he asks you over dinner.
Yeah, when I ask you.
All right, well, in a moment we're going to come back for our dinner table chat.
So it's chicks talking footy, isn't it? And we're chicks and we're talking
footy.
And right now we're heading into what we call our dinner table chat. So we like to bring us all in, have some dinner, share a few meals.
Dim the lights, play a bit of music. Bit of Barry White.
I don't know what tune that was.
Kind of Barry Whitey, but not really.
But I thought for a quick entree, just a quick canapé. We forgot to mention last week. The Chicks Talking Footy team have been nominated.
Oh, yes.
Finalist for a Media Excellence Award at Globe Networking this
year.
Very
impressive.
So we'll find out on October 11 what happens. But we're all going. We've got a table.
Well, when you say we've got a table, I just better book that.
Oh,
that
right. Marty, I thought you had.
To me. I'll just jump on the website Marty, now.
I'll give you one thing to do.
I know.
So that's a canapé, but also something exciting happened this morning, actually, at Federation Square. There, if you remember Taylor Harris this year, she did that wonderful kick back in March. That was a photo taken by
Michael Wilson.
And it was shared online, and then, of course, she got trolled relentlessly with some pretty ugly commentary around it. And it caused such a stir that Channel 7 AFL pulled the post down, and then there was protest about that and put the post back up. So that kick and that photo is obviously, and we've talked about a lot on the show this year, but it's become significant for more than just her as a player. It represents so much about gender equality in football. And our friend Casey Simons wrote a brilliant article in The Guardian. We posted it to our Facebook page today. There's a quote in the article that says, "The statue then is not really about Harris, and nor is it really for her. The statue is for the women in the sport community. It is for everyone who, on the night the powerful image of Harris was posted, trolled and deleted, saw the horrendous comments directed at her for simply doing her job as a footballer. It is for everyone who felt personally attacked in the degrading language those trolls and casual misogynists used to vilify not only Harris, but other athletes like Celia McIntosh, as well as the whole communities of people, particularly those that identify as LGBTIQ+. So I think that's the thing. It's symbolising so much, and it's great that it's down at Federation Square. It's going to find a they're going to announce a permanent home in the beginning of next year.
I think it's fantastic that that's there and it's in that got real visibility to start with, because there will be people who'll say, they'll ask a friend or a parent or something, who's that, what's that story? And maybe it will make people that don't know enough about it or were very negative about it rethink their thoughts.
And also at Fed Square at the moment, there's that statue of the Fearless Girl.
Yes, that's right.
So, you know, it's great that Fed Square, you know, right in the heart of our city, has these statues of you know, women doing powerful things. So, yeah, I thought that was worth sharing. And check out the article, as I said, on our Facebook page. You can find it there. There's videos of the unveiling today, and Taylor Harris was down there with it all happening. So
I saw that Ben Brown was there also from North Melbourne, and Zach Merritt from Essendon was there. Mm. So they had kind of a broader of football support network down there as well. So good.
Yeah, Annie Nolan was down there.
Was she? On your Taylor.
Yep. Our friends at the Outer Sanctum were down there as well. So, yeah, it was great. It was great that it had media significance. And, of course, Zach Merritt this year wrote a great article about gender equality as well. North Melbourne, they did a whole video with Ben Brown and his wife saying, and they they had her on screen, and or him on screen, Ben Brown, and it said Hazel's husband.
I did it.
Loved that little touch. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, wonderful. Wonderful. Go down and check it out. Get your photo taken with it and share it out wide and far.
Hasn't he done well this year?
Ben Brown. Didn't he? He almost won the Coleman.
Yeah. And do you know what? He really should have, but the GWS players were basically just handing it to Jeremy Cameron to
get him up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
to get him to win it. So.
Well, fair enough.
Which, yeah, exactly. Fair enough.
He did deserve the medal.
He did. So now we mentioned at the start of the show that, or we acknowledged that we all know that the sadness of Danny Frawley being killed in a car accident on Monday afternoon, and so he's a champion. From what has happened, from what we've seen, he's clearly a champion bloke as much as he was a champion footballer, because there's been just devastation really across the board, hasn't there?
Just an outpouring of grief really from footballers, football identities and just the general community, and from people that, like, I was really touched by it, and I never knew him.
No, I don't know him at all.
Yeah, and that was funny. Titus O'Reilly actually said on the radio, on Breakfast Radio, you know, it's funny, that's what football community does. It's like, I mean, I've personally felt shaken by what had happened, even though I'd never met him. But, you know, he's part of our tribe in this kind of weird, connected kind of way.
Yeah.
And so it does affect all of us, and it certainly has brought up a lot around mental health in the industry, and I'm glad it's being talked about quite openly. But I thought I'd play for you tonight the tributes that came in on SEN this morning. They posted a video on their Facebook. But people like Gil McLachlan, Bob Murphy, Hamish McLachlan, Matt Finnis, the CEO of St Kilda Football Club, a whole lot of people paid tribute to him. So I thought it was worth playing that tonight.
Traumatic and troubling night tonight, as we confirm, as many news services have tonight, the sad and tragic passing of everyone's mate, Danny Frawley, today.
Somebody like Danny Frawley, who's lived his life in footy and media, very few can have it truthfully said of them that I think they walk away with very few people who didn't like them and didn't enjoy their company. And Spud was one of those.
We talk about the football community a lot. Well, every community needs that lovable larrikin, and he was that. There was no performer, Danny, and the guy off air.
He was just love.
Generous, passionate, loyal. You won't meet anyone who has a big heart. And Spud will never forget what you did for me the day after I lost the coaching job at St Kilda. I'll never ever forget you coming to my house and support.
Learned a lot off Spud on the humorous side of footy, and he's taught me a lot. And I only got close with him probably the last 6 months with the bounce, and just worked as recently as Saturday night with him. So yeah, it's sort of. I felt like I didn't want to believe it when I started hearing things filter through, and yeah, sort of hadn't really sunk in yet, to be honest.
I don't think there's a more universally loved person than Spud, and I think that says a lot about someone.
I reckon he felt other people's pain just as much as they felt. You know, I used to say to him on a number of occasions, Danny, look, you know, you just can't take on board all these other blokes' problems, you know. But he was happy to do it, but he was genuine in his worry for people.
He is, I think, a really iconic figure has been in our game, and we need to find a way to remember him.
You know, 2 years ago, you know, we needed an influx of cash, and him and a guy called Terry Dillon, who you may well know in the football circles, in community football, organised a fundraiser and raised over $25,000 for the club on one night. So he just was an amazing person, and just every time he was at the club, he just brought energy and everyone just wanted to be around him.
Some of his sayings, some of the Spud sayings that he did butcher a few, this is one of them.
You know, his mind's starting to cash checks that his body can't cash.
So we're having the ability to be able to laugh along, but also laugh with and laugh at. He's a big personality, the big man.
But the very first time I ever met him, I was just a young guy in Canberra, and he must have been there watching a TAC Cup game. Anyway, I'm practicing my bouncing, and it's not my Onewood, Jared. And I bounced a mullet grubber, and it hit him in the leg as he was walking past. He bent over and picked it up. He bit over another one, mate, type thing. Keep at it. So he's always really supportive and positive and just a really generous man with great energy.
His enthusiasm and his energy was just, it was just palpable. And it's something that our footy club, any footy club that can have someone to give so much over such a long time, we're just so incredibly lucky.
Of all the tears that we've had over the last sort of 12 hours, it's about him, but the most that you have is for Anita and the girls.
He was caring, he was fun, he was so inappropriate so often, and that's what was so brilliant. He was proud of his girls and neats, he was inclusive, and he was a man that when you'd spent some time with him, you either left feeling better about yourself, frustrated, confused, but always better. He was just a bloody good man to be around. Yeah.
Lockyer at the back, Crawley, red market truck.
You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9. You're with Fee, Moddy and Claudie this evening. And we just listened to a wonderful tribute, I think, to Danny Frawley. His death this week has rocked the football community and probably the broader community as well. He was such a well-known and well-loved and well-respected figure. If news of his passing has affected you anyway, please call Lifeline 131114. And have a chat to any of the councillors there. But we're going to now switch gears a little bit, and we're going to talk about the upcoming games. So, Claudie, tell us, what games are coming up?
So on Friday night, we have Geelong and West Coast at the G.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Saturday, we have GWS and Brisbane at the Gabba.
That's right. So let's talk about your team, Geelong and West Coast. What's your thoughts about the game?
I would really like to see an even performance, obviously from Geelong, but from both sides, and a really tight contest. I think that's what was missing from the first week of finals, really tight contests, because they were all just so lopsided, and I think that's not what you want and what you expect for a finals game.
And
I'd love to see Tom Hawkins kick 10, but I won't hold my breath.
Yeah, well, he's done it before, but... Patrick Dangerfield said we've got a lot of improvement to do in 6 days. What do you think is going to...
Gazza's got to improve. He didn't do much, did he?
Think a lot... There were only a couple of players for Geelong that really stood out to me. Danger was one of them. Tom Stewart was probably another one. I think they've all got to lift as a group and really contribute evenly and don't have such a lethargic start as well, because that really makes us suffer and have to work 10 times harder in the following quarters.
And don't let your coach whinge all week beforehand.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
But West Coast are really big guys.
They are.
They're men. Yeah. You know, and have a look at Nick Nat if you're watching the game, or you just see close-ups of the television. He looks like such a man now. I know that sounds an odd thing to say, but he had quite a youthful face for so many years. But now he's really a man, and he's huge.
He's massive.
They're ominous.
They are.
I hope that Geelong can at least make it an interesting game for us all, if not win. But the other game to watch is Brisbane GWS. Now, I think this is going to be an interesting game. I think it's fairly evenly matched at the moment.
I think Brisbane should win because it's in Brisbane. But as we've said a couple of times throughout the show, Mitch Robinson is in an enormous
hole
to fill. So they've got to work out whether...
All they have to do is kick between the big sticks.
Well, you're right. I mean, I wonder, do you think it's an easy fix on because they kicked so badly, they just have to learn how to kick straight now?
It should be.
You'd hope?
Yes. So, looking forward to the next few games coming up this weekend. We'll be certainly reviewing them next week on Chicks Talking Footy. In the meantime... Follow us on the iTunes.
Yes.
You can listen to the podcast. You can listen to this whole show again. And, of course, we're active on the socials, Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. Otherwise, enjoy your footy. Are you taking it from here? Hello.